Bolden turning back Gudukz as the officials try to keep him. Now look out. Gudukz and Bolden got tangled up, and boy, you hate to see this. They couldn't untangle from each other. And Rodion's Gudukz get tangled up under the basket right there, their arms, and they just, each guy refused to give an inch. And that little flail of the arm is what caught Bolden in the mouth. Greg, no one wants to back down.
NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Wednesday, April 24. It's Anzac Day Eve. Ready to get out on the terps? What do you reckon? I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to sling me some of that walking around stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios to give you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. And of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. We're also going to break down and wrap up after every single day of NBA action while repping Strayer just a little bit, because that's what we do. All right, man, so today was awesome. We've got four games to cover. Three teams were eliminated from the NBA playoffs today. We had a couple of blowouts and then a Dame Lillard blow up. That was unreal. So it's all going to be covered with the usual dumbassery. If that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, panting in the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled steak. We've also got a brand new Shane Heal Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award. Plus, there's a look at the odds and a pick and a preview for all the potential closeout games tomorrow as well. There's a couple of really good ones, so that'll be pretty good. And we're going to finish off today's show with a brand new Rowdy's Recos, as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by with a brand new life hack. It's awesome. Trust me. All right, man. This is NBA Strayer episode 271. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
What? You better watch out for the Dame Lillard attack. Holy moly. Buried OKC today. Holy shit. If you're the Magic, you better watch out for the attack of the Kawhi. Leonard attack. Or you better watch out, I mean, if you're the Nets, for the Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid attack. And if you're the Spurs, just watch out for the attack of being grossly mediocre. All right, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. That's right. We had some other news going on in the background today. The Lakers.
The Lakers stink!
That's right, because they interviewed Jason Kidd. For what, you might ask? I don't know, concession stand runner? Maybe? Oh, no, it was for fucking head coach. Oh, Jesus. Apparently in their bid to suck again next year, the Lakers interviewed Jason Kidd for their head coach vacancy. It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see where this one goes. Hire Jason Kidd and watch them win 34 games next year. That'd be amazing. Just saying. I mean, what about Jason Kidd gives them, like, the hint of, like, idea that he's a vaguely competent basketball coach? He marked Jackson the fucking Bucks, who are now, like, the best team in the NBA. He was busy kicking over fucking sodas while I was there in Brooklyn with him. Holy shit. I don't know, man. I don't know. Other news, Luke Walton. That's right, the former Lakers coach and current coach of the Sacramento Kings denied the sexual assault allegations brought against him by, Kelly Tennant? So, former LA Sportsnet presenter, she said in a press conference about the sexual assault that she was terrified, the alleged sexual assault, obviously, terrified the NBA coach was going to rape her, and the reason it took her so long to publicize the allegations was because she was scared. I mean, I can imagine. So, yeah, it's a tough one. Luke Walton, accused of sexual assault. It's interesting to note, and important to note, that this is a civil suit. rather than a criminal one, because, you know, that way there's like the burden of proof being on the police and everything if it was a criminal one. So, yeah, it's weird. Tricky. Andrew Bogut told reporters that he might do the old NBL-NBA split again next year, telling reporters, I might have started a trend. I'll listen, Bogut said of potential NBA offers. It's not something I'm turning down, or it's not something that I'm accepting at this point. First and foremost, I wanted to get through this year. I can't do that the entire time. And then we'll talk about the future. But if it presents itself again, it's a pretty ideal situation, especially in California. You come over, the weather's getting better, and hopefully you compete for a championship again. I love it. He just hung out in Sydney, kicked some ass, won the NBL MVP, got the old fucking call from Golden State. They're like, all right, you want to come over, Bogey? He's like, fucking sure, mate. Just go and win another championship. Legend. But injury news, Clint Capella is apparently dealing with two respiratory illnesses. That's right, he was diagnosed with an adenovirus and a clivicella infection during a visit to a Utah doctor the other day. His eyes were extremely bloodshot. So I'm assuming Clint Capella was not extremely stoned. He was prescribed medication and eye drops, apparently. So maybe that excuses his horrible performance in the last couple of games. Makes sense. Nice one. All right, let's do some wraps of the four games today. Some pretty fun shit. The early games were pretty meh. They got off to 31-7 and 30-8 starts, and they both had 21-point first quarter leads. It was a rough one, I'll tell you. But yes, anyway, first game off the first cab of the game of the rank, off the rank. Toronto Raptors smashing the Orlando Magic, 115-96. This was an absolute bloody laugh up. And look, to wrap up the series, our big question to start it all was, will you watch even a second of the series? And yes, I did, because the Orlando Magic won the first game with the DJ Augustin game winner. That was sick. But the rest of it was a bit of a rough one, I'll tell you. The key blokes for this, Kawhi, should rip through the Magic. And yes, he did. He averaged 27 points a game easily and didn't have to extend himself really to do it. Big booty, Kyle Lowry was playing DJ fucking Augustin, I said at the start of the season, or set of the series, rather. And I said, I mean, dude, yep. After having donuts in game one, both figurative and probably literally in Kyle Lowry's case, look, he then went on to average 14.5 points and 9 assists a game. So pretty handy. The best matchups to watch out for was really Vooch being covered by Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka. And to see if Eric Gordon and Johnny Isaac could step up in his absence. And it turns out that was correct. And nope, Vooch was very well held. Averaged 11 and 8 for the series. Shot 36%, 14% from three. And Eric Gordon and Johnny Isaac could not step up in his absence. That was a tough one. So look, for game five, the starters for the Magic shot 16 of 50. Absolutely brutal. Evan, don't Google me, Fournier, had 10 points on 4 of 11 shooting and 1 of 6 from 3. He was absolutely gross. He might pop up again later. Same with Vooch. He was well held again. 6.7 rebounds, 3 of 10 from the field. Johnny Isaac had another shocker, 1 of 7 from the floor from him after his donuts in game 4. Aaron Gordon, 11.7 rebounds, 4 of 13. Jesus. And T-Rolls against his old team, 4 of 11 from the floor. 12 points, 4 rebounds for him. Just brutal, man. DJ Augustin at 15, fine. But it was 4 of 11 shooting for him as well. 1 of 6 from 3. Big Dick Kem Birch. He was pretty good. He had 9 and 11 with 3 assists and 4 blocks. But a lot of that just came in garbage time. And 12 points for Reggie Wundo. Pretty good. So Magic, there you go. They went down not really shooting. They just shot badly, I guess. For the Raptors, they went 15 and 36 from three and smashed at Kawhi at 27 and 7, shot 8 of 11. I mean, come on, man. 5 of 5 from downtown for him. Playoff Kyle Lowry was a big booty Kyle Lowry again today. 14 points, 9 assists, 6 of 10 from the floor. Siakam was pretty good. 24 for him, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He was very, very good all series. Marc Gasol had 9 points, 9 rebounds. Danny, not the boxer green, had 6. Didn't really matter. Just Raptors ran roughshod over the top of them right from the get-go. As mentioned, Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' VanVleets. He had 7 points and 10 assists. And Norm Powell had 11 points, opening this pit up. 5 of 9 from the floor for him. Serge Ibaka had 10, 4, and 2 as well. But, I mean, this was just an absolute laugher. They had 67 at the half, did the Raptors, while the Magic were... 47. Yeah, it was rough, man. It was very rough. So, a bit of a laugher. There you go. Toronto win the series 4-1. First time they've ever won four playoff games straight. Absolutely crazy. Magic, after winning game one, they led in the next four games for a total of 5 minutes and 28 seconds. Yeesh. So there you go. All right, let's clap them out. Let's see the Magic. It's been pretty fun, but at the same time, it's all over Red Rover. Clap them out. Come on, let's clap them out. Oh, there we go. All right. See ya. Yep, good job. Thanks for coming, Orlando. Fine. I'm not entirely sad to see you go. The Philadelphia 76ers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6ers, beat the Brooklyn Nets 122-100 in Philly in Game 5, winning their series 4-1 after basically dropping Game 1 as well. It's the old turnaround, mate. Absolutely crushed it. So, the start of this series, we asked the one big question. Can Brooklyn take their 2-2 record versus the Sixers into the postseason? Or will Joel Embiid just stomp them? It was kind of a combination of the two because Brooklyn could have had this 2-2, but they shit the bed in Game 4, let the refs get the better of them. Fight night really fucking fucked them up. And Joel Embiid still stomped them as well. The key blokes were Embiid if he's playing. Yes, he loves kicking the shit out of the Nets and Jared Allen in particular. Jimmy Butts, he had a quiet one after Game 1. He was the only bloke who showed up in Game 1, which they lost, and had like a quiet rest of the series, and then they shredded them. So I don't know. And for the Nets, it was D'Angelo. If he can be efficient, he's a wildly tough matchup for the Sixers. Unfortunately, he was not wildly efficient, and therefore, the Nets lost the series. Yes, that'll do it. Look, I have my queries and problems with D'Angelo. He was very, very good the second half of the year, but he did spend this conference final, playoffs. His best showing was 12 of 27 in Game 3 when he had 26 points. Went 10 of 25 in Game 1. I mean, he went 6 of 16 Game 2, 6 of 19 in Game 4, and 3 of 16 today. So, yeah, pretty rough. The best matchups we had were the Wings versus Wings. I mean, it was great in Game 1. Brooklyn were able to throw their wings at Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butts, Simo. Slowed them down a little bit. You know, Dudley got in Simo's head, obviously. And then it was all over. So there you go. Didn't really work out. So for Game 5, this was an absolute smashing. It took the fucking Nets 5 minutes to score at the start of the game. It was just embarrassing. 60 to 31 at the half. Caris LeVert, my sweet baby carrots. He was the only Net who did shit of anything, basically, which was pretty rough. He had a little bit going in the first half, but Embiid and Simo were dunking at will. Redick was dropping bombs. Second half was an absolute laugher, and basically the best part of this game was when Rodion Kurucs and Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, got into it with 2 minutes left in the game and got tossed. Kurucs threw a bit of an elbow at Jonah, and Jonah kind of went after him, which seems fair when someone throws a fucking elbow at your head, and they both got tossed. But anyway, look, the Nets got in this game. They went 2 of 14 from deep in the first half. There's bad decision-making, no good shots being taken. D'Angelo and Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer! Just sort of settling for bad, bad shots over and over and over again. As a team, they shot 38%. The starters shot 17 of 48. Ugh. But, I mean, it's the Nets, man. So as D'Angelo Russell goes, so do the Nets, especially when Spencer Dinwiddie sucks as well. There's just no chance of them winning. So when they both stink, it's fucking over. Sweet baby carrots, he had 18 points. He was pretty bloody good. And a remarkable comeback for him, right? I mean, holy shit, the dude basically snapped his fucking leg off. His foot was over there. Hey, my other leg went this way. Like, it was crazy. Ends up with 18 points, 6 of 12 shooting in this one, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal. He was awesome. D'Angelo, however, was shithouse. 8 points on 3 of 16 shooting. 1 of 6 from downtown. Minus 31 for D'Angelo. That is brutal. 3 assists, 2 steals, but nah. Did not have it. And Spencer Dinwiddie as well also stunk up the joint. 3 points. On 1 of 7 shooting. Just absolutely fucking gross. When their backcourt just doesn't show up like that, it's all over Red Rover. Joe Harris as well continued his torrid run throughout this playoffs. After a pretty good game one, he then combined to shoot 11 of 36 over the last four games. In this one, he went 1 of 5 from downtown for 4 of 11 overall. I mean, go the fro, Jared Allen. He had 8 points, 9 rebounds, but again, was limited to 24 minutes. Just brutal. Jared Spudley Dudley, he sucked. 0 points, 0 of 3 from the field in 18 minutes. Look, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he had 21 points, but that all came basically in garbage time. He went 9 of 13 in only 15 minutes. That's pretty good. But you kind of feel like Kenny Atkinson may have fucked up by not playing Hollis-Jefferson and Rodion Kurucs a little bit more in place of Jared Dudley. I mean, Kurucs was amazing in game one. Rondae brings him a bit of toughness and a bit of height randomly to sort of throw at Simo and Harris, but no. Kenny Atkinson sort of stuck with Dudley here and there, and Joe Harris probably played almost a little bit too much over like Damari Carroll and co. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a rough one. Rough one overall. Shabazz Napier had 11 points, 9 assists, but whatever. The Sixers, Joel Embiid smashed again. 23 points, 13 rebounds in only 20 minutes. He is going to miss kicking the absolute bejesus out of the Brooklyn Nets, isn't he? Wow. He's going to be like going up against Marc Gasol next time around, and it's not going to be as easy. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, 13, 5, and 6. Jimmy Butts, 9 points on 9 shots. JJ Redick, he had 11 points, went 3 of 6 from downtown, but the damage was done early for him. Tobias Harris had 12 points, 2 of 4 from 3, 8 rebounds, 4 assists as well, but it was kind of just across the board. Once they sort of got up, it was very well spread out in that first quarter and then into the second, and that was all she wrote. I mean, Jonah Bolden got out there, tried to fight Rodion Kurucs, as mentioned. He had 6 points. Mike Scott went out hurt, which is going to be very interesting to watch going into the next series. It's weird how important he is to their team. I mean, Jesus. So, but anyway, he basically walked gingerly back to the bench and didn't play the rest of the game because he was kind of like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm all right, man. I should be fine. So, good on him. Love me some Mike Scott. Hopefully he's fine. He had a right heel contusion, apparently, according to the team. Anyway, what else? Boban, he had 7-7-4. TJ McConnell had 6-7. James Ennis, he had 11. Whatever. Philly win 4-1. And there you go. So that's it for the Nets. Let's say goodbye to them as well. It's all over, Nets. Bye-bye. Yes, there you go. Let's clap him off. Clap him off. On your Nets. You overachieved. Great stuff. Great work. On yours. On yours. All right, go punch somebody else's draw marks. See ya. All right. And so the East semis are now set with those two games being done. Milwaukee, you'll hear it's Algonquin for the good land versus Boston. And then Toronto versus Philly. Both of those should be absolute ball belters, shouldn't they? Right. Over to the West. Let's do it. The Spurs lost to the Denver Nuggets. The only tied up series. 2-2 and Denver. Win game 5 at home. 108-90 over the Spurs. To keep up with the one big question, are Denver ready for this? Turns out, I mean, early on, no, because they lost game one, but now, yes. Good on them. The key blokes, Joker, Nikola Jokic, hello. Can he dominate? He is being very, very, very good the last 4 games, so good on him. DeMar DeRozan there, going up against Jam and Jamal, and the Dartsman Gary Harris and Will the Thrill Barton. Really could be doing more, and it's a bit of a disappointment. So the best matchup to watch out for as well has been Joker and Thrillsap versus LaMarcus Aldridge, and they are tanning LaMarcus in these wins, are the Denver Nuggets. So for game 5, this is pretty fun. This was an absolute smoking. Basically, the third quarter of it all just unraveled the Spurs. The Nuggets were up 11 at the half and then just really put on the clamps. You want me to use these clamps? And outscored them by 11 in the third quarter. The lead got up to 30. Ugh. So they just never gave the Spurs a sniff, which is pretty important. The Spurs, for their part, they shot 41%, 7 of 24 from 3. Basically, when they suck from 3, they fucking lose. And they suck from 3 more often than not because they don't have many good 3-point shooters. DeMar DeRozan went 17-4-1 on 6 of 15 shooting. He was a minus 21. LaMarcus Aldridge, 17-10. Derek White started very slowly. He was 1 of 7, ends up 5 of 11 for 12 points. After his 36-point outing, was at game 3. It was like, all right, cool. Derek White's here. And he hasn't been very good ever since. Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl was pretty good. 12.7 rebounds, 4 assists. Bryn Forbes had a shocker. 1 of 6 for 4 points. Rudy Gay, 3 of 9. Ugh, 6 points. Not great. Patty Mills wasn't very good either. 2 of 8 from the floor for Patty Thrills. 5 points for him. Marco Bellinelli had 7 points and 7 shots. Davis Bertans and Donuts Mona Yunus combined for 2 of 8 shooting for 5 points. Look, when their little sort of mosquito fleet and their backup white guy Biggs aren't dominating, the Spurs lose. So there you go. The Nugs, they shot 50% from the field, 14 of 33 from three as well, crushed it. Nikola Jokic, hello, had 16, 11, and 8. He's awesome. Jam and Jamal chucked in 23 points on 9 of 16 shooting, hit 4 of 9 threes. Also had 7 assists. The Dartsman, Gary Harris, locked down Derek White, also chucked in 15 points for himself. Nice one. Paul Thrillsap, he had 14 and 6. Will the Thrill Barton had 17 points off the bench too. Their bench, I mean, Will the Thrill, Monty Morris, he had 10 and 3, and Malik Beasley had 11 as well. Very handy. And the Nugs really tightening their rotation, and it worked very handily. And they go up 3-2 in that series. And that'll be the only game on Friday. Pretty weird. Because the Portland Trailblazers, that's right, the 3 seed, taking on the 6-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder in Portland for game 5. We're down 15 points in the fourth quarter and came back and won it on a Dame Dollar Dame logo game-winning, series-ending, 50-point performance-capping long bomb 3 that was absolutely bananas. I mean, holy shit, that was awesome. What do you reckon, Stephen A. Smith? What the hell was that? I mean, what was it?
What was that? What the hell was that?
That was Dame Dollar calling game. Holy shit. So for this series, we started off asking one question. Can Portland get on the board? Well, yes. After being swept in 2 straight series, they came out, won the first game, won the second game, lost the third game, won the fourth game, won the fifth game. Yeah, that's getting on the board. Key blokes, they limited Paul George a little bit. He's obviously got a bung shoulder, but still, Dame, can he battle Rusty to a standstill and beat him? He sure did. And is CJ McCollum healthy, and can he shoot better than 28%? He did, and look, he was a bit off in this game, but he's been good throughout the series. Enes the Penis versus his old team, smashed it as well. So yeah, the Blazers came through big, thanks to Dame Lillard. So this game, I mean, 118-115, absolutely amazing. Dame Lillard was fucking incredible. 34 in the first half, 6 of 9, nice, from 3 in that half. It was the most points in a half in Blazers playoff history. The most anyone scored in a playoff half in 14 years. And this was great. It was just like a wild first half as well. Like, Lillard was unstoppable. OKC kept coming back. Rusty missed a bunch of good looks, including a layup that was just right there. And it's like, oh, geez. Seth Curry's out there hitting threes. And then the only reason they stuck vaguely close was that Paul George hit a buzzer-beating three. In the third quarter, the Thunder got up and then hit a hole. There was like an over, like, Rusty missed 7 straight shots. Dame hit a 3. After Rusty missed one to put the Blazers up 9. It was a 14-2 run to bust it all wide open. And then OKC responded with a 13-2 run that extended out to 30-6 OKC run to go up 15 points. It was absolutely wild. Ah, man. But then Nerlens Noel kept fucking fumbling the ball under the grant, under the hoop. Jeremy Grant was awesome. He sort of copped a couple of really good cheap buckets. Dame went and missed 8 straight shots, but then hit a 3 to get it back within 5. Rusty answered with a 3. That was insane. Paul George, however, and everyone's going to sort of forget this, but he just somehow forgot how to shoot free throws. For a guy who had an entire fucking, like, Gatorade commercial series built around him being clutch, to miss 2 free throws, crucially, was pretty par for course for Paul George. I mean, he's hit a couple of game winners this year, but Jesus. Rusty sucked a couple of times. Paul George sucked, turned it over to Seth Curry, which was absolutely wild. Dame hit a shot. CJ hit a couple of shots. The game was tied up. Paul George hit the go-ahead. 39 seconds left. Dame drives it back the other way with just enough time to go 2-for-1 and tied it all up. Rusty goes back the other way. Rusty Westbrook just leans into it too fucking much, playing for the foul rather than actually score the bucket. Last possession, Blazers. Dame dribbles up the court, waves everybody off, sees Paul George go at him. He just steps back and goes bang and hits it from fucking Eugene Origin for the series winning 3. 5 years after he did the exact same thing to the Houston Rockets. Holy shit, what a game. This was awesome. It was back and forth. The Thunder crapping the bed in epic fashion after being, like, fighting all the way back. And this is what hurts them so much. They fought so hard. They get up 15. Literally, Paul George hits those free throws. They probably win this game. Rusty hits one of his last two horrible shots. They probably win this game. The reffing was wildly inconsistent, to put it nicely. I mean, it was just fucking up and down all the way around, wasn't it? But it was fun as hell. So what a great game. Paul George ends up with 36 points on 14 of 20 shots. You wouldn't fucking know it from Rusty Westbrook's last couple of possessions, though, where he just took the ball, ran headlong at the rim with, like, no plan and turned the ball over a bunch of times, missed shots. Rusty had 29 points, 14 assists, and 11 rebounds for the most unimpressive triple-double you'll ever see in person. He did have this run where he just got super fucking hot, hit a couple of threes, scored 10 straight for the Thunder in that 30-6 run, but then just kept shooting. And you're like, Rusty, just pass the fucking ball, mate, would you? Jesus. He was fully reckless, crappy in the last 30 seconds, really, really fucked him. Rusty, got to trust your teammates, mate. Dennis Schröder, I'm German, Grundo. 17 points for the third time in this series. It's such a weird stat. He's like, oh, I'm German, Grundo. I shall score 17 points and 17 points only. It's like, all right, Dennis, just get there, mate. That's fine. Just do your thing, dude. Three straight games of scoring 17 points. It's pretty strange. Anyway, he hit a couple of massive threes that really twisted the screws on the old Blazers. Steven Adams Brew had 10 and 4. T-Ferg hit a big three late, and that was his only scoring bucket. He had 3 points. Jeremy Grant was absolutely awesome. 7 of 8 from the field for him, 16 points. Was unstoppable there. Just like, kind of wish they'd even thrown him the ball one or two more times here or there. Nerlens Noel had 2 and 2. Markieff Morris had 4 minutes after of absolute, you know, shithousery. And Fatty Ray Felton got out there and hit a shot, which was nice. Good on you, Fatty Ray. More happy for you than you probably think. It was wild. He hit like, a couple of shots in... Finally got around to hitting a couple of shots in game four. Yeah. He missed every shot he took up until game four. And he hit one or two today. So good on you, Fatty Ray. Anyway, for the Blazers, come on. This is the Dame show. It was all Dame time. The game winner. 50 fucking points he gets to. 34 in the first half. Unreal. 10 of 18 from three ends up. We'll talk about him later. He's obviously unreal. CJ chucked in 17-2, went 1 of 7 from 3, 8 of 19 overall. Enes the Penis Kanter battled manfully for his 13 and 13 with 4 assists. He had a buggered left shoulder for a bunch of it. It's all strapped up after the game. Powered through, battling up against Steven Adams, which was awesome. Chief Amino had 9 points. Mohawk, don't be Mohawkless. 17 and 7, hit some clutch-ass free throws down the stretch after starting off 0 of 5, which was crazy. Seth the Shit One Curry again had some big moments. He had, in 27 minutes, he had 7 points, hit a couple of big threes. 3 rebounds, 2 steals, including a massive one on Paul George late to get the turnover and really, really gave the Blazers a hint of life. Spud Hood out there for 13 minutes as well, but you wouldn't have noticed. He went 0 of 2 for 0 points. The Rodney Hood experience continues unabated. But look, the adage basically still goes, when Amino and Moe Harkless outplay Jeremy Grant and T-Ferg, the Blazers would win, and that's kind of what happened. Grant was very good, but Moe Harkless and Amino were just a little bit better, and Portland won it. It also took a 50-point performance from Dame Lillard to win, but still. Portland take out the series 4-1, absolutely wild. OKC. They thought they had this one won, but they did not. They still haven't won a road playoff game since the coward snake Kevin Durant left in 2016. They've lost 12 straight road playoff games now. Unreal. They're 4-12 total in the playoffs since KD left. Jesus. Anyway, there you go. Portland through. Unbelievable stuff. OKC. It's going to be a long, long offseason for them. All right. See you, Thunder. Clap them off. Here we go. All right. Clap them off. There you go. Good season. See yous. All right. On your bikes. Later. Bye. Let's get to the NBA Stereo Proof performance of the night, though.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
Could this be anybody other than Dame Lillard? I mean, what the shit was that? It was already amazing. 34 points and a half. He was absolutely incredible. And then came the lull. Which you should expect. He missed 8 straight games, but then turns it up in the fourth quarter, goes absolutely fucking hog wild, and then that last possession. Unbelievable. The underrated part is probably the game tire that he had before that, where he's like, oh, I'm going to just take this straight to the rim, fuck all y'all, and got the game tying like layup to even give them a bit of a, basically a bit of a shot. So that was awesome. Great stuff, Dame. His fourth quarter was just absolutely neck level. He basically goes, all right, fucking, so I've had a pretty good first half. What do you reckon? Then he goes 5 of 9 in the fourth quarter, which was, oh, wait, no, that was CJ. He had a good fourth quarter. That's what I was thinking about. I had that one already written down. Can you believe it? Dame goes 3 of 6 in the fourth and absolutely smashed in that game winner. Absolutely wild times. Hits the fucking shot from Corvallis to win the series. And the best bit, he hit the buzzer beater from 30 plus feet. Wave goodbye to the Thunder. Holy moly, that was awesome. Dame, you are a superstar, top 5 player, absolutely unreal. He is my first team point guard anyway, but Jesus, what a performance. To do it 5 years after you did the exact same thing to Houston is absolutely unreal. And then wave goodbye to the Thunder after all the chirping all through all series when Rusty Westbrook has always talked about Dame Lillard. I've been busting that ass for years. Dame Lillard buries the dagger right there, twists it around a little bit, sends them off into the summer with a kick in the fucking seat of the pants. Dame Lillard, you are absolutely amazing. And you know what that performance is going to go? Where it's going to go? Well, I reckon it's going to go straight to the pool room.
This is going straight to the pool room.
It really, really is. Dame Lillard, you are incredible. What about old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, Jared Dudley in Philly getting booed every time they showed him or he touched the ball or went on the court was pretty amazing. Also pretty weird and sad because, I mean, Philly, I get it that, you know, he sort of talks shit about your dude. At the same time, it's Jared fucking Dudley. I mean, who gives a shit, right? Just settle down, fellas. God damn. Boo! Jared Dudley's like, yeah, he's Jared Dudley. I mean, I get it if it's like a good player. And Jared Dudley, look, love him to death, love what he brings to the table. But at the same time, he's not Ben Simmons level fucking NBA player, is he now? So just everybody chill. But he's definitely old mate, no mates in Philly. Not going to be able to go down South Street and hang the fuck out for a couple of beers, is Jared. But old mate, no mates is also another one today. Rusty Westbrook, holy shit. For all the shit he's going to cop for, what, the next couple of days and then into the offseason. Oh, it's going to be old mate, no mates time for Rusty. Oh, can Russell Westbrook ever win in the playoffs playing the way he does? It's going to be all summer. And also everyone on the Thunder not named Russell Westbrook. When they come to meet Russell Westbrook, it's like, you motherfuckers let me down. It's like, Russell, you didn't pass us the fucking ball. Anyway. So there you go. Jared Dudley and Rusty Westbrook, as well as the rest of the Thunder. All definitely all mate, no mates. What about Spud of the night, though?
Spud of the night.
I mean, Rusty Westbrook could make it. 11 of 31. Some of those horrible shots down the stretch. Jesus. Johnny Isaac sputtered up the rest of the series after game one. He shot 1 of 8, 4 of 11, 0 of 4, and 1 of 7 in game 5. That includes 4 of 20 from 3. Jesus. Evan Fournier, don't Google me. Evan Fournier was a minus 42 in the game 5 loss for the Magic. That is the worst plus minus for a Orlando player in a playoff game since 1997. Yeesh. D'Angelo sputtered it up today along with Spencer Dinwiddie. 3 of 16 for D'Angelo. As mentioned, 1 of 6 from downtown. And Spencer, just absolute shocker of a game. 1 of 7 from him, including 0 of 2 from downtown. Yeah, look, when you're two guys that you've basically built your entire team and season around go 1 of 8 combined and basically, what, 4 of 23 from the field, you're up shit, Creek. Also, Spudley Jared Dudley, 0 of 3 from the field and 0 of 2 from downtown for a minus 19 in 18 minutes. Jesus, rough as guts. But look, Spud of the night, I'm going to give this to the Spud of the series, goes to Vooch, Nikola Vucevic. I mean, going up against Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, and the Raptors, he was held and held mightily. I mean, for an all-star who was averaging 21, 12, and 4 in the regular season to go out and average 11 and 8 for the series is absolutely shocking. He shot 14% less from the floor in this, like from basically 50% down to 36%. This was gross. And in game five, a closeout game, the elimination game, he had 6 points, seven rebounds, an assist, and went 3 of 10 from the field. Vooch, mate, you realize you're a free agent this summer, don't you? Holy shit, how much money did he just cost himself? That is brutal. Pantsing of the night goes to Orlando and Brooklyn, but that was more of a 1-2-3 Cancun. Sort of, we're going fishing for both the Magic and the Nets, which is very disappointing on the Nets side and also probably from the Magic side. A couple of young teams, well, kind of young in Magic Land. They got a lot of vets on that team. I'm going to talk about that later. The Nets, they kind of just like couldn't basically bring it for game five. Just the intensity was not there. The leadership, there's no Ed Davis for the second game. And I think there's like a big correlation between the Nets and their maturity and Ed Davis being around. He's not there in game four and five and they lose them in pretty brutal fashion. So yeah, Brooklyn and Orlando both got pantsed to a degree where everybody at school's talking about it for like 6 months because it was like at a school assembly or something. But the Thunder being up 15 points in the fourth quarter after coming all the way back is just an absolute all-time pantsing because we're going to be seeing that Dame Lillard step back series winning three forever. So this is like not even just at a school assembly pantsing where like someone's gone, oh, hey, look over there. And then dacked you. This is the Thunder being dacked at like, you know, the valedictory school famousy, everyone's there, the entire school's like laid out in front of you and you're not wearing underpants and everyone's filming it and there's like a million different versions of it up on the internet and they got pantsed and like the Thunder's like Wang is just dangling in the breeze. They're embarrassed, they start crying, they fall over, they shit themselves. That's how bad this pantsing was. So the Thunder, absolutely bloody brutal. And finally, who was better than Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Well, just not in the playoffs, because, I mean, the playoffs, it's not when it's balling season, is it?
It's balling season!
No, it's not, because you're at home on the fucking couch. Today's better than Lonzo Ball. Not too many of the young dudes playing around today and in this sort of these four series. But how about we give it to Rodions Kuroks? That's right, the Latvian ladyboy who got into the old biffo with son of Bruce Jonah Bolden. He was actually surprisingly awesome all season. He had 14 points today with 7 rebounds, 2 of 3 from 3, 4 of 8 from the field, just in general with an assist and a steal. One of the very few Nets that was actually a plus in their plus minus. It was a plus 11. For a second round pick, he was picked 40. He has been absolutely awesome this year, and I feel like the Nets kind of fucked up by not really starting him more in the sort of last little run of games here. Like, basically, he started game one, and they're like, oh, I'm not entirely sure now, man. Maybe we should put Jared Dudley in, and he can maybe contain, I don't know, maybe put the, like, rangy fucking tall-ass Latvian who can do some cool shit in there rather than spudly Jared Dudley, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was pretty rough, man. Pretty rough. But anyway, he was awesome. Good on him. His best game of the series. I mean, he was shit in game one. Don't get me wrong. But there's just sort of like a feel that he has on the floor where he's just long, lanky. Shit just happens when he's around and doing stuff. He gets like weirdly tough rebounds. Gets the odd steal here and there. Either way, when he's on the court, you kind of know it. So there you go. And yeah, better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball was not Johnny Isaac. Ugh, as mentioned, that was some definite sputting up from the Magic young fella. I mean, I love him. Good on him. 3.6 rebounds today. But yeah, the 0 of 7 was just the 1 of 7 was rough. So there you go. Nice one. Well, let's get to Yanaz, I guess, right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, stuff for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, should the Magic be proud of how they won out? Yeah, nah, nah. You got fucking steamrolled, mates. Where's Harry Potter when you need him, you Magic idiots? Yeah, all their flaws are on display as well. Too much reliance on Vooch, Aaron Gordon's limitations, Johnny Isaac's youth, Evan Fournier's inconsistency, T. Ross's inconsistency, DJ Augustine's DJ Augustineness. I mean, Jesus. I mean, what are they going to hang their head on? The fact that they made the playoffs and got some playoff reps into established vets as well as Aaron Gordon and Johnny Isaac? It's weird. Weird. Magic. Just, I mean, a Magic fan can sort of sit there and go, look, it sucks. We hadn't made the playoffs 2012. Happy we made it, but oh, that was a rough watch. With that said, next one up is, was that season a success for the Magic? Yeah. I mean, because they wanted to make the playoffs. So to that end, they did, and good on them. But to what end, I'm not entirely sure. Because their future, they're sitting there going, we've got a team that is Markel Fultz, Johnny Isaac, and Mo Bamba. Is it Aaron Gordon? Sure. In actual basketball terms, though, that's just like a giant fucking question mark, isn't it? Like, can Fultz play basketball? No one fucking knows. Will Mo Bamba know how to play basketball? There wasn't a giant amount early in the season that gave you, like, some real confidence that he's going to figure it out. Johnny Isaac was pretty good, but really inconsistent as well, so tough. Anyway, Orlando. I'll talk about them again in a second. Next up, should the Nets be proud of the way they went out? Yeah, nah. No fucking way. If there's one team that's fucking fought and scrapped all year, it's the Nets. And what they did today was fucking embarrassing. Their goddamn GM showed more fucking fight in after game four when he's trying to punch on with a bunch of refs than the fucking Nets did actually in game five today. They quit so hard, it was embarrassing. Like, Kenny Atkinson's decision to, like, get out there with Spudley instead of Kuroks or Rondé was pretty weird. But they also just laid down and let the Sixers have their way with them, right? And then probably slipped them $20 after. That was gross. Next up, that said, was that season a success for the Nets? Yes! Undoubtedly, yes. Yeah. For a team that hasn't had any of their own lottery picks since 2010 and traded away their entire fucking future in 2013 for a year of Paul Pierce and 18 months of Kevin Garnett, who were both 36, 38. Their rebuild's taken only 3 years to get into the playoffs. It's absolutely fucking nuts. They made it to the playoffs before the fucking Lakers. The Lakers. And the Kings and the Suns, who had all their own high-ass lottery picks for all the fucking good it did them. So that's a massive win of a season for the Nets. They saw D'Angelo Russell become an all-star. His second half was absolutely unreal. Still inconsistent, and obviously when he's not good, the team sucks. But still, Carrots, my sweet baby Carrots, Caris LeVert, bloomed into a star before getting hurt, then looked pretty bloody good and surprisingly badass at times after he came back from that horrific injury. They locked up Spencer Dinwiddie at a good contract. He's now just got to live up to it and not fucking disappear like he did today. Jared Allen looks like Clint Capella with a fro, and he's only 21. Joe Harris, Damari Carroll, Rondé, Hollis Jefferson all look like decent role players. Harris can shoot the shit out of it. Damari Carroll's, you know, a good veteran presence to have around. Same with Jared Dudley. Kuroks obviously looks like a fucking steal at the 40th pick of the draft. He's awesome. Just a really shit way to go out, though, for the Nets. So, tough one. Rough. Next up, should the Thunder... I mean, was that... should they be proud of the way they went out? Nah. No fucking way. They grabbed the bed so hard that it's absolutely embarrassing. Which leads us to, should the Thunder blow it up? Can they win with Rusty Westbrook? And look, I might talk about this one a little bit more tomorrow just to, collect my thoughts a little bit more. But my first thoughts are, wow, does Rusty need to fucking pass the ball to Paul George a little bit more, doesn't he? Look, for Rusty, you just got to hope that it was the off-season fucking knee surgery last year that sort of threw his fucking shot into the dam and never really came back. But it was really his decision-making that really let them down late, wasn't it? Yeah, and you can't really see that getting too much better. It's a tough one. But I think, look, they could get out of the first round. I just can't see them out there contending. They had these runs, right? Like in, what, January? We're like, holy shit, they might be the best team not named the Warriors. And then they have fucking performances like they did in the fourth quarter today. It's bizarre. Finally, should the Suns throw a shit ton of money at Monty Williams before the Lakers can hire him? Fuck yeah. I mean, you've already divorced your wife. This is your chance to make it work with your side piece and make sure she gets a divorce and hooks up with you properly before she gets out and finds someone better with a bigger dick. Because heavens know the fucking Suns have shown a lot of tiny dick energy over the last decade plus. So do it. I mean, you've already fucking pulled the trigger on firing Igor Kostkov. Better go get your mans. Get your mans. All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look.
Look at me, look at me, look at me. Unpopular opinion of the day. I still think the Thunder will make it work with Westbrook, Paul George, and Steven Adams. There's going to be a lot of talk about blowing it up, trading Rusty, all this sort of weird, dumb shit, all that sort of stuff. But, nah. Keep it together. Roll it back. Find shooters. How is Sam Presti, who's apparently this fucking smart GM, this absolute fucking genius, rolling out there with, like, no one on this fucking team who can shoot? What happened to Patrick Patterson as well? Jesus Christ, that poor bugger. But yeah, look, I still kind of believe in the Thunder. As long as they get a couple of shooters. I mean, Brinus was meant to be there and he fell off a cliff and had to go away for personal reasons and stuff. So that's sad. But yeah, I feel like there's still a blueprint there to make this work. Just saying. But another unpopular opinion of the day. I'm not entirely convinced there's that much value in a team like the Magic making the playoffs and then getting absolutely shit pumped in five games in the first round, right? Like, who are the young players they're blooding? Johnny Isaac, who just kind of crapped the bed. Aaron Gordon, who's still just wildly, wildly inconsistent. Markel Fultz isn't fucking playing. Mo Bamba's hurt. The rest of their team are fucking vets like Vooch, T-Ross, Evan Fournier, don't Google me. So I'm not sure what this achieves beyond being able to convince, like, season ticket holders and fans that they're not wasting their money when they come see your horrible franchise, right? There is value in that, I guess, and convincing yourself that and your owner that you're on the right track, especially in a down draft year where, like, if you're not in the top, what, three or four, there's no real point. Look, they made the playoffs for the first time since 2012. That's fine. It's their first season above 500 since then as well. Some good, weird, inconsistent, but good performances all year long, which is pretty wild. Got some playoff experience, I guess, for Isaac and Gordon. The culture looks a bit smarter. Steve Clifford's a good coach. Their front office have figured out like what they need to do. So, I mean, I guess there's some value in it, but geez, I'm not convinced that the seven seed is, that great. But it's at the same time, what would you rather be? Orlando or Charlotte sitting there at fucking nine going, well, I don't know what the fuck we're doing. All right. Outback Takehouse time. It's Wednesday at Outback. And you know what that means? Walkabout Wednesday with West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker out on the barbie cooking up some West Sydney Razorback ribs. Only at Outback. And they go great as a flame grill take. Today's flame grill take is the Oklahoma City Thunder will fire Billy Donovan and also look at trading Russell Westbrook this offseason. They ultimately won't, but they will definitely take offers. Only at Outback. Another Outback Takehouse, what do you reckon? The Nets will be a top five team in the East next year. I mean, they're a top six team, so it's not a giant leap. But at the same time, the top four teams all look pretty badass, but I reckon, you know, once the Nets convince themselves of Jimmy Butler, geez, I hate that idea. Anyway, the Thunder trading Russell Westbrook. Look forward to all that talk. That's going to be fun. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch, the Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot, Light 'Em Up Award, Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter Check-In, and the game previews right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia, Australian Player Watch. We had three Aussies out today. Big Simo Ben Simmons in the win over the Nets. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists. 6 of 10 from the field, 1 of 3 from the free throw line. He was a plus 34. Big Simo smashing it. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce. Played 14 minutes.
Yes, he did, bro. He did.
6 points, 2 of 4 from the field, all of which were threes. So hitting his 2 threes, he got to 6 points, obviously. 1 rebound, 1 block, 2 turnovers and 4 fouls, and was eventually tossed for trying to fight Rodion Kurex after Kurex got him in the face with a flying elbow. Ah, well. Jonah. He was fucking up for it. Rodion's ran like a bitch. On your bike, you Latvian ladyboy. Patty Thrills, Patty Mills had a rough one in the loss to the Nuggets today for the Spurs. 2 of 8 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3. Ah, jeez. Brutal for his 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Yeah, tough one. All right, there you go. So that is the Stray Employer Watch for today. We still have Well, we've still got Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Son of Bruce, Jingles, Patty, Bangers, and Bogey still going. The only one who's been eliminated so far is Thon Song. So, nice one. Hopefully, Jingles and Utah can take it to the Rockets tomorrow. Nice one. All right, what do we do? It's Wednesday, so that means it's time for a Shane Heal Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award.
He threw it down! Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed. That's right. Today's Shane Heal Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award can only go to one person, and one person only, Damian fucking Lillard. Holy shit, that game-winning three was so hammer-esque, you could actually see a Shane Heal face on the cover of the ball as it spun gently through the air and then through the net. 50 points, 34 and a half. The most points we've seen in an NBA playoff half in 14 years. He goes 10 of 18 from three. There is nothing more Shane Heal Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up award-winning shots then stepping back with the game tied to end a series with a three from the fucking car park. That is so Shane Heal. Dame Lillard might change his name to Shane the Hammer Heal. Dame the Hammer Lillard? That works. 50 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block, 17 of 33 from the field. That's 52%. 10 of 18 from 3. That's 55%. 6 of 8 from the free throw line. A 65% true shooting percentage. In 45 minutes, Dame the Hammer Lillard, you are a fucking star. And the winner of the Shane Heal Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award for this week. Unbloody real. All right, let's get to the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? Let's do it. No new tweets from Patty, but we do have a bit of a response from Matty Dellavedova to the Dame Lillard shot. Literally tweeting out, wow, that was crazy. Yes, it was, Deli. Yes, it was. Usually it's Deli dropping threes and crushing dreams in the playoffs, but not this year. Maybe next year. All right, let's do the game previews for tomorrow, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's it all going?
Oh, yeah. You know, the squid, he's loving it. Watching a shit ton of basketball at the moment. He's like, oh, Dad, fuck. What's this? And I'm like, it's basketball, mate. He's like, oh, this is sick, man. I'm like, yeah, dude. Nice. All right. Let's have a look at the odds and do a bit of a pick and a preview for the games tomorrow. Only two games tomorrow. And today was the last time we're going to have more than two games on a single day for the rest of the NBA playoffs, which hurts my heart. That's a problem with series being finished 4-1. We just now, like in the next week, we're going to have these weird stretches where it's going to be like, oh, all right, so there's not a game on today? Fuck. Brutal. Anyway, so the Utah Jazz, or the Utah Yaz, I believe it's a soft J, they take on the Houston Rockets in Houston. The Rockets are 8-point favorites at home to close out the series 4-1. And look, I think the Rockets might end up winning this. The Jazz, I did get asked this yesterday. It's like, oh, do you reckon they've got a chance now? I'm like, look, their defense seemed to have figured out the Rockets a little bit, but at the same time, the Jazz offensively needed a fucking crazy start from Ricky Tikitata, Ricky Rubio, and Jay Crowder shooting out of his fucking mind for 23 points in game 4 to win that, and you cannot bank on that happening. So look, I think the Jazz will maybe keep this close, so I might take them to cover plus 8 and the Rockets to win though. So yeah, it's a tough one. I've got a feeling James Harden will go bananas in this, torch them, but I reckon the Jazz will maybe fight back, keep it close, and end up eventually losing. And then finally, the second game is the Los Angeles Clippers of Los Angeles, California, taking on the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are 14-point favorites at home. Jesus! And you got to feel pretty comfortable, I think, even taking that, because 14 is a lot of points. And the Clippers do play them pretty kind of like... well, they did win game one. Well, game two, don't forget, with the giant comeback. But at the same time, oh, man, it's just hard to really, really go, oh, yeah, bro, I reckon that the Clippers can definitely maybe have a bit of a shot because, you know, I don't really see it kind of happening, you know what I'm saying? Yep. So, look, give me the I'll get the Warriors. The Warriors don't fuck around, and I think they will go out and absolutely smash. And, yeah, it'll hurt the Clippers' hearts, but that's just how it's going to go. And yeah, look, the last one, it was pretty close. It was 8 points. That was in LA. There's obviously the famous 31-point comeback, but I think the Warriors take care of business and do it handily. So give me the Warriors. Minus 14. Jeez, that's a lot though. Anyway, I'll take it anyway. All right, you know what? Holy shit, that's it. That's it for today. God damn. Nice one. We'll wrap up those couple of games tomorrow. And I think we mentioned yesterday, can we have three series end on the same day? Yeah, nah, nah. Well, we did. Oh, I was wrong. All my tips were wrong yesterday as well. So as always, don't listen to me. Wicked. All right, we're back tomorrow. We'll wrap up all that with all the usual ridiculousness. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're all over the socials during the games. Chuck us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever Android app you use. Check us out on Stitcher. Follow us on Spotify, all that good stuff. If there's a star rating system, smash 5 of them or I'll fight you. And tell a mate. Go, oi, dickhead. It's NBA playoffs. How fucking good is this? NBA Australia, listen to it. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. But go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's absolutely fucking awesome. I love it. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, that's it. We're going to finish off today with the new Rowdy's Reco as Ryan Rowdy Brockoff swings by with a life hack, and we... we'll catch you tomorrow, dickheads. That's right. We're going to do a show on Anzac Day. Don't worry about that. We're still going to be kicking around. This is NBA Australia saying...
later, hoza.
Hello there, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockoff here, back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. I mean, after all, I played in Russia, where I was once abducted by the KGB for having a squeezed bottle of Vegemite in my room. So I've dealt with ridding myself of my share of stress. So, this week's Rowdy's Reco is really simple, mate. If you're stressing out, if life is getting a little bit overwhelming, one of the easiest life hacks out there is one of my favorites. It's just a really simple way of relaxing yourself, and it's great for your mindset. All you need to do is organize the photos on your phone. That's right, if you're stressing, just jump on your phone, look through your old photos and organize them a bit. Delete some bad ones. Heart some of the great ones. And just relive some of the great memories that you encounter while you're at it. Because there's literally nothing better for your soul than looking into the past for a little bit of inspiration and for a little bit of nostalgia. Remembering that time we picked up the dog. The time that the dog was at the park. The time that the dog and I just hung out on the couch. That holiday we took to Puerto Rico with the dog. That trip to Gap where we got tossed out because we put a hat on the dog. Either way, your memories make up who you are, and reflecting on your life with some audiovisual help is a great way to put a smile on your dial. I mean, in Russia, I only had a flip phone and it didn't have a camera, because in Russia, one of the team doctors once said that cameras stole your soul. So we weren't allowed phones with cameras at all. So there you go. It's simple. Feeling tired, feeling stressed, just grab your phone, look through the pics, and relive some great memories. And let the rhythms of your own life wash over you, leaving you feeling great, less stressed, and ready to take on the world again in no time. Okay, so that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. Until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. Keep living your best life, and namaste.